Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on episode 14, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. And Richie was running a bit late, but is he here yet? Yes, he is. Evening, Richie.
Hey, mate.
Well, what a week Warriors fans had last week. So much troubling news after our show, unfortunately. And we're going to discuss it very shortly in our news section. But putting that aside, how was your week and your thoughts on the Indigenous round?
Mate, my week was great. The Indigenous round was good. The only downside was the Warriors game. So we'll get around to it, I'm sure.
We will. And while we're here live on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m., you can also catch our show at your convenience on High Art Radio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was Rugby League, including our top stories of the week, a review of the Indigenous round, and an update on our tips. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as some questions we've got for each other. We'll then preview round 13 and make our picks before ending the night with a recap of Super League. And the show will probably go a bit smoother tonight because Paul's finally decided to return. So he'll be able to keep hold of all the chats that I kept missing last week. And I see Simon's here. Evening, Simon. And so just remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show. We may as well just rip the band-aid off and get into the stories of the week, Richie.
Let's do it, mate.
Okay, we'll start with the Warriors dramas. We talked about it last week about Matt Lodge leaving the club. After our show, we got a bit more information. He got his $700K to leave. It's going to be deducted from the salary cap from the Warriors, both for this year and next year. Owner Mark Robertson, who got himself in the mix and everything, he was said to have had a disagreement with Lodge and claims it was a battle between two alphas. Take of that what you will. Cameron George fronted the media, didn't really help. It was kind of a wishy-washy interview he did, and it didn't really temper the fans' anger and frustration. Rumors are swirling. I'll go through it all before we discuss it. Rumors are swirling that there's a fracture in the players group and that players like Lodge and Sean Johnson were trying to get the team to not play Nathan Brown's game plan. And then Robinson ended his week before he decided to put himself in the naughty boy corner. He said that Nathan Brown's job is safe this season, but there will be a review at the end of the season. So I know that's a lot to throw at you in one go, Richie, but what was your take on all the Warriors stuff?
Oh, mate, comes across as a bit of a mess, if you ask me. We had a bit of text communication during the week. nothing overly positive to do with the situation. So, yeah, I'm not too sure what to make of it, mate. It comes across as slightly unprofessional and just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're letting one of your best players of the season walk out and take a good chunk of your salary cap out for the year and next year because your owner's having a drunken dig at him. We may never know the complete truth. As we know, there's always... So, yeah, it's pretty bit of pill to swallow. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I was talking a bit with Paul before the show, and it just said, as the owner, I had my concerns with him last year when he came out and was making comments. And we kind of don't want the owner to be out there in the media all the time. You kind of want them to pay the checks and stay in the background and let the people that he's hired to do the job actually do the job. So I'm hoping that he will go back into the darkness and just keep paying the checks. But it's the second time he's done it. So odds are he will keep doing it. I mentioned to Paul, I said, I feel like there needs to be this will come out wrong now, a person in the organization with a bit of backbone that will actually stand up and tell him to know his role when the time suits. Coming out, it just isn't a good look, especially if you're trying to entice players to the club. If you've got an owner coming out and just running his mouth and saying what he thinks, it's not going to bring you the big names that you want to get. I see Simon's made a point saying that, yeah, the owner can do whatever he likes with the team, and that's why he's the owner and you guys are not. That's 100% correct. But if you want to make money, you gotta do the right things so the fans actually keep coming through.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the things we talked about before, wasn't it? That generally owners who are quite happy to just to throw cash at it and just have to lose cash, generally doing it because they want the club to do well. If you want the club to do well, you don't go around pissing away 700k of your wage, of your salary cap, even if it's what 350k a year, I guess, on a player that's not playing for you. It's farcical. He does need to. He needs to understand that. Yeah, he's clearly at some point he's been very good at running business, unless mommy and daddy has given him all this cash. But he's not a sports person. He's a business person. Stick to what you know.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I think before we move on, because there is a lot more news as well, the rumours about the players' fracture and Sean Johnson and the likes going against the game plan, what's your take on that? Does that give you more sympathy for Nathan Brown's woes if he's doing a game plan and the team's just refusing to do it and doing their own thing? Because I wouldn't mind that if his game plan was rubbish and their one was better. But at the moment, they're not playing like they've got a good game plan. We'll cover it more in their game. But it doesn't seem to be doing better because they're not sticking to it, allegedly. We can't say they would be doing even worse with that game plan, but I'm not sure.
I've got a slightly conflicted view about this because obviously it's the team I support and the results aren't exactly positive right now, and when you're looking back at Nathan Brown's history, his NRL coaching record in general is not the flashiest. So the problem is, it's you put someone else in his place, is it any better? I don't know. So and when you're talking about players like Sean Johnson and Matt Lodge wanting to go against Nathan Brown, it's all just hearsay. We won't really know the complete truth about that.
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to get you to say something a bit controversial. So it's
I
not
sit
just
on the fence
me all the
as
time.
Always, mate.
Yeah. So we'll leave the Warriors stuff in the background. I'm sure if this is any state that's going to continue, and probably we'll get a lot more throughout the weeks. But we'll go on to some more dramas at other clubs. Payne Haas had requested his immediate release from the Broncos last week. Broncos refused. He's now retracted that request. the news wasn't taken well by Broncos fans who booed him during their game in the weekend. He admitted regret about the length of his contract that he signed last time. And he now wants a shorter contract with clauses that allow him to become a free agent if the Broncos don't make finals. It doesn't sound like a very team player approach, but what's your take on it?
Yeah, this one to me feels like his management are having a heavy say in what he's doing. So, it is a strange one because if you look at his salary he's getting now, as far as front rows go, it's very, very good. He's getting a higher pay than a lot of like key spine players are getting at other clubs. So I know he's a fantastic player, but to be asking for a lot more when he's already got a pretty good deal, it's a strange one. It's like he's maybe listening to a lot of the press, a lot of people saying he's at least a $1 million player. So fantastic player, but it's a weird one. What do you make of it? You're a fan of the front row club.
Are they worth that much money? They're not worth that much. But I think it's a lot to do with the manager. He's got new management team since that deal, so they don't really get a chunk of the change from that deal. So getting a new deal now will give them a bit of coin in the pocket. The clause that allows them to become a free agent is what rubs me the wrong way. If I was the Broncos, I'd be happy to do it as long as they're one that go the other way, going, if you don't do this, this, and this, we get to deduct 10% off what we pay you. Go both ways. Go, if you want to just walk out the door, if we're not performing well, a key to us performing well is you actually doing your job. So if you're not doing your job, we should get to pay you less as a result. I'm pretty sure he would balk at that idea. So it'd be like, well, why do we have to do it? So it'll be interesting to see. I think it puts a negative connotation on you as well. So how many other clubs would want to grab you if you're solely just focused on you? Like, obviously you want to get paid. It's a job, but no player can win the NRL on their own. Some have come very close, but it'll be an interesting development. It'll take him some time to get the fans back.
Getting over 800K a year to play the game you love seems pretty good to me.
Yeah, I'd take minimum wage to do it myself, but we're different people. keeping the drums going, but moving clubs now, the Tigers are going to hold a mid-year review and Michael Maguire's job appears to be under threat again. So the boss at the Tigers came out in an interview and said that it's a common thing to do a mid-year review. They're the only team to do it this year. Do you think Maguire's going to get the chop again?
Potentially. The only thing though is for me, the Tigers have looked a lot better after the first five rounds. I know they had a terrible start, but they are looking a lot better now than what they did after those first five rounds. I wish the Warriors would hold a mid-year review. There's always potential, mate. They've had a lean few years, the Tigers. So, I mean, it's hard to say he's safe. It's hard to say, but time will tell.
Yeah, and Paul saying other teams doing mid-year reviews but not making public. That could be the case. I agree with your sentiment there. I think the Tigers, they're not getting the wins, but I think they're playing a lot better. To be honest, if the Warriors were playing like the Tigers are right now, I'd be in a better frame of mind mentally.
Same here.
You know, losing but actually fighting, I think. You know, obviously you want your team to win and you want them to be successful, but you don't want to see them just not try, which is kind of where I'm leaning towards with the Warriors right now. But, Simon says a mid-year review sounds ridiculous. Yeah, I don't see how a mid-year review actually will help you. You sack the coach and then you've got to you find another coach. We did that when we let Steve Gurney go, and look what happened. We found, you know, Todd Payton, who started making some good changes, and then he left as well. I think, I don't mind the idea of reviewing it and seeing where you're at and then setting goals for the rest of the year. But like going in and cleaning house, I don't think is a good idea. But I'm sure we'll probably have some news, if not next week, the week after, on what's happened with this review and the consequences of it. So we'll keep our ear on the ground on that. And we'll go to more teams in strife. Des Hasler's been fined $25,000. After ranting about the referees and his side's loss to the Eels 2 rounds ago. I've kind of got a brief quote of what he said. He asked why his team was on the wrong end of a 9-2 penalty count, stating the Eels had been legged back into the game. Hasler then doubled down on Saturday in the week just gone, questioning why his team continues to be the most penalised team in the NRL. And, the NRL, they're a bit quiet on it when he said it against the Eels, but I think doubling down this week, I guess they decided they needed to stamp it out before we went on after Seagulls lose to the Warriors this week. What's your take on the fine and what he was saying?
I can see why he got a fine, because there's certain things that coaches, it's kind of frowned upon if they say that kind of thing. So there's certain things, it's a sort of unwritten code that they shouldn't say those kind of things in a press conference. Even though at times I wish Nathan Brown would unleash on a little tirade like that, but that's another point entirely. I see why he's got a fine, but the question is, do you think he had a point, Brad? Or is he just having a whinge?
I'm going to sit on the fence on this one and say it was kind of a bit of both. I think he had some points. It's clear we talk about it so often on this show of poor refereeing decisions, but I don't recall in either of those games, either last weekend or the weekend before, where I'd say the referee cost Manly the game. So I think if it was, 2 weeks in a row where there was two or three things that changed the course of the game that the referees got wrong, then maybe, but he's really only got the 17 guys that are out on the field to blame. Very hypocritical as a Warriors fan, who we love blaming everything but the players, but that's the fact of the matter. And the fine, that's probably why you don't see the other coaches doing it, because that's not, that's not a little bit of chump change. We'll see how he reacts in this week.
We have seen coaches talk about it before and then get a better reaction out of the refs. Maybe you thought, look, I've done it, I didn't get the reaction out of the refs like everyone else did, let's try again.
Yeah, that could be it too. We'll get away from the dramas for a little bit with some signing news. Adam Elliott's told his Raiders teammates that he'll be leaving the club and will be going to the Knights. The Knights haven't actually made the official announcement yet. So we don't have any terms of how long the deal is. It sounds like it's going to be a multi-year deal. And Bulldog Jerry Marshall King has signed a 2-year deal to join the Dolphins. What's your take on those two signings?
Handy signing for the Dolphins with Marshall King. They're building a pretty solid forward pack, but having a nice explosive hooker will help. Adam Elliott, he's had a short reign in Canberra, but it's a solid enough signing for the Knights, but I don't think he's gonna be the kind of player to pull them out of the situation they're in towards the bottom of the ladder, but maybe he's viewed as a replacement for Barnett, who's coming into the Warriors next year.
Yeah, I'd say it's a straight swap. And Marshall King, with Reed Marnie going to the Bulldogs, he was always going to be losing that starting hooker spot. So I think it was a win-win there. He still gets to play first grade, and the Dolphins get a handy little player. And then Next bit of news. It's kind of always been assumed, but Ray Warren's officially announced his retirement. I've got his stats here. He called 99 Origins. He could have just come out in a couple of weeks, got his 100th.
Yeah.
45 grand finals, 3 Melbourne Cups, and many years as Australia's premier swimmers at the 3 Olympic campaigns. Had a fantastic run. I did see a quote from him when they asked about the trying to get the 100th. He said he's got nothing left to prove, and he's happy where he's at. And I'd like to say good luck to him for the rest of his time. He's a bit long in the tooth, so yeah, he's kind of done everything you can do as a commentator. I was just hoping that we were going to hear Blocker Roach retiring from commentary, but we'll save that for another day. And yeah, Simon's mentioned he thought Ray Warren retired anyway. It was a soft retirement where he had retired, but he would still come out and do State of Origin and the Grand Finals. I think the Grand Final was the last game he commentated of last year. So he was kind of still doing those big occasions, but now he's doing none of them. So yeah, any thoughts on Ray Warren before we move on?
Yeah, just congrats on a fantastic career. His voice will always be the voice of rugby league for me. I grew up listening to that voice calling games. So, I'll definitely miss him hearing him calling those big games. I mean, so many iconic calls he's done in Origin and Grand Finals. Yeah, he'll be missed. I'm interested to hear who Paul thinks is the rugby commentators that should be retiring. Who are you talking about, Paul?
All of them.
Oh, I mean, some of the union guys are just, I mean, Naismith, he doesn't even recognise the players anymore. Right? It's just, you just can't even say the names and stuff. You're just like, oh, geez, come on, mate. That's not that player. You've got entirely the wrong player. The main job of a caller is to recognise the players.
That happens all the time in league. I even with ones, I'll even put Adam Blair on blast because he actually played with the guy, but a lot of them do it with Chanel Harris Tavita. They always call him Tavita Harris, and Adam Blair did it, and Adam Blair played with him. I don't understand it, but I see Paul also said it was a bit unfair on regular callers not being able to call the big games. There's not a lot of good callers out there, fair, as well.
There is.
But, yeah, that was all the news I had. But I've got a little section for Origin. The Origin teams were named. The big things out of it, we've got Josh Adokar and Jake Trbojevic were dropped from New South Wales. Katoni Stagg, Stephen Crichton, Ryan Madison are all going to make their debuts for the Blues. Madison was named 18th man in 2019, but he didn't actually play. And Queensland have named 4 debutants in Billy Slater's first game as coach. Cowboys, Ruben Cotter and Jeremiah Nanai. And Broncos, Selwyn Cobbo and Patrick Carrigan. So I didn't really dwell too deep in it because we'll probably talk about Origin a lot more next week. But what's your take on the namings of the sides?
Okay, I'll start with New South Wales. That's my team. So... yeah, Jake Trbojevic, I can kind of see why with him being left out. When you look at the makeup of the back row that's been selected, you can't really argue. They're all players in really good form, and Jake's coming from a team who's struggling a wee bit. Sorry, Brad, that's your other team. But, I can see why. Josh Adokar, I think maybe slightly hard done by. If I were one of the selectors, I would have selected him because he's got a proven record of performing in Origin. He's done really well in his time in the Sky Blue jersey. So I feel for him a wee bit. From a Queensland point of view, I agree with all the young ones that have been picked. They're all in great form. So
I'm going to
good decision from Billy Slater.
I'm going to make you eat your words about the Jake Trbojevic situation. Are you saying that Tarek Sims is playing better than Jake Trbojevic? Because Tarek Sims is, He's starting in the front row, in the second row.
I don't think Jake's necessarily playing terribly. I do think Tarek Sims brings a little bit more in terms of versatility, what he can do. I mean, defensively, he's just as sound, but he's a very good attacker too, good hard ball runner. So, yeah, I think that one could go either way for me. But if put it this way, if Jake had been picked, I wouldn't have been upset about it. But with him not being selected, I'm not too worried either. I think the makeup of the back row that's been selected is very good.
It's just showing that Fittler's running scared, and Billy the kid's going to come get him. So I love it.
We'll see.
But before we move on, there was just a few things about the injuries. So I've really only highlighted five. Viliami Valia broke his jaw and played for 40 minutes with it, but now is going to spend a few weeks on the sidelines. David Fifita is out for another 2 to 3 weeks after spraining his MCL in his return match. In the weekend, Knights player Daniel Safidi suffered a medial ligament injury. No word on how long he's going to be out for. Manly's Dylan Walker injured his knee, but has been named this week. And Adam Fanua Blake's injury, we had another update. He's due for return in round 15, so only a couple of weeks away, which is actually good news for the Warriors. Your takes on any of those injuries? You don't have to go through all of them, but you can pick anything you want there.
I'll pick the one that is of most interest to me then, and Fanua Blake, I'm happy it's not the whole season. Round 15 is a lot better than the rest of the season being out. He would have been a big blow to the Warriors if he was done for the season.
Yeah, 100%. And so that was all our news and injuries and all the like. So we may as well just jump straight into the Indigenous round. So I'll hand the floor to you, Richie.
Okay. So Indigenous round started with the Storm with very lovely Indigenous jerseys, beating Brad's second team, Manly's Eagles, 28-8. 5 tries to 2 for the Storm. We had Cameron Munster with a double. He had a field day. Chris Lewis, Xavier Coates, and Kenny Bromwich grabbing the tries. And 2 tries for Manly. George Taufua grabbing his first try after being out for a long time injured. And Christian Tuipulotu grabbing their other try. So 28-8, looking like a very good bounce back from the Storm, Brad. I thought Jerome Hughes being back makes a huge difference to their team and allows Munster to just do what he does well. And, boy, Munster looked a lot better for it, having somebody to, play make and take the pressure off him. Thought Munster had a fantastic game. What did you make of it, though?
Yeah, Storm, yeah, definitely getting back into form. They didn't look troubled in this match at all. Munster was huge, but I think that was all due to having Jerome Hughes back. And I think Hughes is the key to the side. We saw how, I don't want to say inept, but it was almost that bad when Hughes wasn't in there. So great seeing him back. And I suppose the perks for the Storm is it's always a bit of a struggle during Origin, but with Hughes not being tricked into becoming an Australian so he can play Origin, and being a Kiwi, he's at least going to be there for them, which will be a huge impact. They really needed this win going into the Origin period. Manly, they just missed too many tackles and made too many unforced errors at the wrong times, which is something you can't do against Melbourne. No Tommy Turbo and Saab out the back. They just lacked a bit of spark. There's a lot to be fixed with Manly if they want to get themselves into the top eight. And Des Hasler's got his work cut out for him, especially with DCE going to be missing due to Origin. Suppose that's the bright side of Jake Trbojevic not making Origin, is that you at least have him there.
Yeah, they do. But I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the Warriors having to face Manly without a couple of players there. It makes our chances a lot better.
We've had that a lot of times in the past and it hasn't worked out.
I know. I should have touched wood when I said that because now I've gone and jinxed it. Anyway, so the next game was the Panthers 22 against the Cowboys 0 on the first Friday night game. 4-0. Isaiah Yeo, Dylan Edwards, Brian Tor'o, and Taylan May grabbing the 4 tries for the Panthers, to absolutely nothing from the Cowboys, who have been on a fantastic streak, but it all came to a halt this weekend. Copy-paste time, Brad. Panthers do what they always do. Unpack it for me from your point of view.
Yeah, so going into the Indigenous round, this was my most anticipated match. And despite the scoreline, I wasn't disappointed. Copy-paste, Panthers dominated the contest. They were up 16-0 at halftime, but the Cowboys' defense kept them honest, and they only managed to score one more try in the 70th minute. James Fisher-Harris for the Panthers, he was impressive up the middle. And the Panthers, yeah, they just do what they do. And even when things started to go against them, when they were that Cowboys defense was giving them a bit of trouble, they didn't let it knock their confidence. And they just keep plugging away and doing what they do best. And, yeah, Cowboys, their defense was great. I know 22-0 doesn't sound great, but many sides, that would have been 40-plus. To be honest. Their attack, though, was hurt by errors. A little bit more polish, and I think they would have scored some points. And I think the biggest issue for them, it might be an ongoing theme, but with a lot of Cowboys making Origin this year, it's going to be interesting to see how they go without those players. I don't think it would be disappointing for Cowboys fans, but it could have been a lot worse, and probably would have been a lot worse if Cowboys weren't what the Cowboys have become in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, you mentioned the Cowboys' defense, and I actually thought they were very good. You're completely correct when you say for many other teams that could have been 30, 40 points, but the defense, the Panthers had plenty of ball, but the Cowboys' defense did a pretty good job, I thought. They'd be... Yeah. Slightly concerned with the zero from their attack, but maybe it's just a week off. They've been scoring a lot of points the past few weeks, a lot of 30-point plus games the past few weeks. So I don't think that'll be too much of a concern for them. Maybe it's just an off week. And the Panthers, I think it just says how good the Panthers are, really.
Yeah.
The second Friday night game was the Broncos 35 over the Titans 24. Was 24-4 at halftime from the Titans, but the Broncos managed a huge comeback, putting on 31 unanswered points in the second half. Was 6-4 in favor of the Broncos. So for the Broncos, Selwyn Cobbo, Tamaria Martin, Jordan Rickey, Herbie Farnworth, Kirk Capewell, and Ezra Mann grabbed the tries. For the Titans, Jaden Campbell, Corey Thompson, AJ Brimson and David Fifita grabbing their tries. Yeah, like I said, Brad, 24-4 at halftime. The Titans looked in control. I thought I've got my tip completely wrong. A very strong showing from the Broncos in the second half. And I think they showed why they are where they are on the table.
Yeah. It was an interesting game here, as I said in the news segment, with all the home fans booing one of their best players. Made it an interesting dynamic watching it. Titans, as you said, they hit the ground running and looked certain to run away with a big win here. I too thought I had stuffed my pickup. They were leading 24-4 at halftime, besides losing two players to the bin in the 31st and 32nd minute. But there was, I think, the glaring issue with the Titans right now is their lack of experience heads. Because they had a massive lead and then they decided to take a short kickoff. Don't know why. It bit them, yeah. Tino, their captain, he didn't know the rules and left the ball. It gave the Broncos a let off and then they stormed back with 3 tries in 10 minutes. Titans, yeah, their defense after, once the Broncos switched their gears, they missed 41 tackles. They watched too many Raiders games and had the Raider fade in the second half. The Broncos, they just never gave up. Payne Haas, despite having the whole world against him, had a pretty good game. Big games as well from the usual suspects of Katoni Staggs and Herbie Farnworth, and a great effort from Corey Oates out on the edge. I think the biggest thing fans can take away from it is they came back from a 20-point deficit without Adam Reynolds. It just showed the spirit the Broncos outfit actually has, which I think is great for them. And, yeah, like you said, shows why they are where they are right now on the ladder.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. You mentioned, again, Adam Reynolds not being there. So they're actually, I think they're a scary proposition once he gets back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Because before injury, he was in almost career best form. So, and probably the signing of the season. So, yeah, once he's back, I think look out to a lot of teams. I think the Broncos, despite being pretty average the past few years, they're poised to scare a lot of teams this year.
I think so.
Saturday,
come on, do it, do it.
Warriors 16, Knights 24. That hurts a lot to say. So, yeah, again, the Warriors going down to the Knights, who were sitting second to last at the time. 4-3 for the Knights. Tyson Frizzell, Edric Lee, and Tuala grabbing a double. For the Warriors, Adam Pompey, Viliami Valer, and Dallin Martinez-Lesniak grabbing the 3 tries for the Warriors. 4-4 from the tee from Jake Clifford. Reece Walsh, 1-3. So he is having a bit of an off day with the boot. But where do we start, Brad? The Warriors had a great start. Back-to-back tries for Adam Pompey and Viliami Valer in the first 10 minutes. And I was thinking, here we go. Here we go. I think I even messaged you saying we win this one, surely. Yeah. Maybe I jinxed it because she was all downhill from there.
Yeah. I've got in my notes, soul-destroying game. It felt last week was really tough, not only as a Warriors fan, but as someone who writes about the Warriors and talks on here about the Warriors. To be honest, I think I put it in my review in the week. If I wasn't on this show and I wasn't writing my games, I probably wouldn't have even watched the game. That was how I was feeling before kickoff. And then just like you, they sucked me in that first 10 minutes with two nice tries. I was like, I didn't think they were going to cruise to victory. I knew there'd be a bit of a fight back, but I thought they had at least were in the driver's seat, but they completely fell out of the car. They too many errors, kicking the ball out on the full multiple times, kicking a kickoff over the dead ball line, which is Reece Walsh's special move. I think it's what he loves to do. Trying to take all the negativity away and look at some positives. I thought Aaron Penny and Bunty Ofoa did well off the bench, which is something they've struggled with in times, but it felt like they kind of took it on themselves that they had to fill the boots of Adam Fanua Blake. Tohu Harris was outstanding again. He's kind of making every post a winner since his return. And Adam Pompey, I thought, played well after a shocker last week. He was up against Dane Gagaway, who, you know, is one of the better centers around, going to be playing Origin. And he kind of had the better of him for the most part. It was just a lot of coach-killing decisions. I put in my notes and in my review, felt like the team was all doing their own thing. They look like maybe they're frustrated. If there's one thing, you know, it's silly to say just stop dropping the ball because they haven't learned how to not do that yet. But they just need to communicate. It sounds so simple, but they're just not doing it. If they communicate and actually play as a team, they might get some results. I'm not sure. At the moment, it all just seems like they're doing their own thing. Sean Johnson was constantly kicking on the fourth tackle and there weren't people running for the ball, either because they didn't want to or they didn't know the kick was coming. Not sure. But there was another team playing and it was the Knights. And to be honest, I don't think they were that great here either. But they made the most of the Warriors playing individual football and strung together a few nice attacking plays. Ponga and Clifford, I thought, started to show a nice combination. There's still a long way to go from being a weekly competitive team, but this win should see them avoid the spoon, which will make me happy since that was your prediction. I thought Marcelo Montoya's simbinning was a bit rough. You know, that's my thing on here. I would have been fine with him getting simbined if Safiti was simbined for his head high in the first half. But that simbining was not the reason why the Warriors lost this game. And I think it's time to admit that we have one of the worst teams in the competition, which I don't like saying, but that's the facts.
You said that this win might help Newcastle avoid the spoon. I'm just hoping that if they do, it's not at the Warriors' expense and we get it, because it's looking like it's not out of the realms of possibility right now. I agree with your sentiments. I was worried before the game that with no Lodge, no Fanua Blake, our forwards might struggle. I actually thought our forwards and bench forwards did not too bad. And Pompey, after a lot of criticism, actually played quite well. I just thought the spine was really bad. Johnson, Walsh, Harris, DeVito, who had just had a few weeks out. But, yeah, they looked like they were lacking a lot of accuracy. And like you say, those kicks out on the full and kickoffs out on the full are just coach killers. And that was really the catalyst to let the Knights back into the game, and they just didn't surrender it from there. So I felt like this loss was pretty much completely on us.
Yeah, and Fiona's put a comment. She went to the game and said, boy, did those Knights supporters get them home. Would have thought it was their home game. I kind of had the same thought when I was watching it going, I can't wait till the Warriors get to come back to Mount Smart. Completely selfish reasons aside, but sitting there listening to a supposed home game, hearing a Newcastle Knights chant going through the stadium, I didn't like it. But then I've also been a Warriors fan who's watched us play the Storm in Melbourne and hear Warriors chants in Melbourne. So I can see it. But yeah, it was just kind of rubbing salt into the wound, hearing all the Knights fans at a home game for the Warriors, spurring them on. But yeah, disappointing game. Don't want to talk about it ever again.
Mate, I know you don't, but we've had a lot of dialogue back and forth the past couple of weeks about that exact point. It's not really a home game for us, is it? It is, but it isn't. I mean, it's not Mount Smart. There's no drums beating. It's lacking Warriors identity and teams hating coming to Auckland to play in the cold. It just doesn't feel the same. And
90% of the Warriors roster hate coming to Auckland as well. That's why they're all leaving.
Apparently so, yeah.
So, it'll be good when they come back. I think it's very thankful that the Warriors have had so long away from home, because I feel the current performance might have hurt their ticket sales, but the fact that they have been away for so long and fans here are so starved of footy, they're still going to get a good crowd for that first game. Hopefully it spurs them on to showing a bit of effort. I know it's horrible to say that they're not trying, because there are players out there. I think Fiona commented about Jazz.
Jazz definitely playing, trying, yeah.
Playing in the front row. I don't like him in the front row. I don't think it helped his game or the Warriors, but you can't deny that he didn't give it his all. And there's guys, like Tohu Harris and the like. They're all trying. They just need some of those other guys out there to at least give 50, just give half an effort. And that's kind of how I feel right now.
No, 100, you got to give it. Let's move on.
Yeah, move on. There was other games, please.
There was other games. Let's do those ones. Rabbitohs 44, Tigers 18. 8 tries to 3 for the Rabbitohs. Alex Johnson grabbed the double. Harvili grabbed one. Alex Johnson was a hat-trick, actually. My apologies. Campbell Graham, Cody Walker with a double, and Jackson Paulo grabbing the tries for the Rabbitohs. 3 tries to the Tigers. It was Ken Mamalo with a double, ex-former Warrior Ken Mamalo, and Asu Kipoa with a try. Yeah, 18-12 at halftime. The Tigers looked like they were in it. As we've said earlier, the Tigers actually given a lot of fight this year, but the Rabbitohs sort of kept grinding, and finally ran away with it in the second half, Brad.
Yeah, I'll go back to that last game just for a bit because I didn't want to contradict you, but Fiona's decided to do it. There were drums there in the game.
Yeah, you're right, there was. But it's not the same, though.
I know, but we'll go away from that now. Rabbitohs, yeah, I was really into this game in that first 40. I thought the Tigers had come to play. I saw that winger, Ken Mamalo, I think you said his name was. He scored a double and was like, man, I wish the Warriors throw an offer his way or something. He looked like he could do something. but, yeah, he's a Tiger, so it looks like that won't happen. But, yeah, I thought the Tigers looked the better side at the start. They made the most. There was some key errors from Lachlan Ilias that they converted into points. But they just fell away in that second half. They missed 45 tackles overall. And it almost looked like the Rabbitohs were scoring at will in that second half once they got into the swing of things. The Tigers backs did a lot of the heavy lifting with some big meters made by Ken Mamalo and Brent Naden. James Tamo and Joe Afengawi did their best, but the Tigers need more out of the rest of the pack. I think that's where they're kind of getting a bit stilted. Scoreline isn't really that surprising when you see 44-18. If you didn't watch the match, you go, yeah, that Rabbitohs versus Tigers, that's what's going to happen. But yeah, like kind of what we talked about in the news segment, it was disappointing to see the Tigers let the scoreline blow out because they have been fighting and getting in the grit and making teams really work hard for a win. But yeah, the Rabbitohs, they look great once they got those early errors out of the way. Alex Johnson, as you said, he got a hat trick, which sees him now as the top try scorer for Rabbitohs. With 147 tries in 178 games. My question to you, though, is do you think he'll get past Ken Irvine's 212 tries before he hangs his boots up?
Mate, that's a long way to go. it's very possible with the rate that he scores tries. Not too concerned with that, still, to be fair. I'm more still concerned with young. If he gets... He is. I'm more concerned if he gets top try scorer this year because I tipped him to do so. So... I think he's trending pretty nicely.
I think he might could get do. There.
It's possible.
Ryan Pappenhausen had a lead, but he hasn't played for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And I do apologize, Fiona. You're right. I do recall drums being at the Warriors game. It's just not the same unless Brad and I are sitting there with chicken and chips and a can of the sponsor's finest. We make all the difference, I feel.
It's strictly us.
It is. The Rabbitohs, though, they look at getting back on track.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that was Cameron Murray coming back too.
He's huge the team for looked,
The team looked a lot more comfortable with him out there, and he just adds another dimension to their attack, and he also shores up their defensive line as well. And flowing on from that, I thought Cody Walker had the ball on the string, and he had one of his better games since Adam Reynolds left. If they can stay at this level until Latrell Mitchell comes back and then go one step further, I think they could be a finals threat. It's just when they've got everyone on the ball and they've got all their players available, it seems to be that's the time when they get the dropsies. So hopefully they stay away from that when Latrell's back.
Yeah, we talked about Cam Murray last week, and I said he's one of my favourite players at the moment I think he just shows why. I think he's even more important this year to the Rabbitohs than previously with Reynolds not being there, because he just brings so much, obviously defensively, but on the ball as well. He, for 13, he does a lot of ball playing and takes a lot of pressure off Cody Walker. So, yep, good for the Rabbitohs getting back on track. The next game was the Roosters getting up over the Sharks, 36-16. I thought this would be a belter of a game. Yeah, it was a pretty good game. Nice, Paul. for the Roosters, 7 tries, Daniel Tupou grabbing a double, Nat Butcher, James Tedesco, Jared Wadia Hargraves, Joey Manu, and Connor Watson. To 3 tries from the Sharks, Renato Mulitalo, Sione Katoa, and Cam McInnes. Roosters a bit up and down, Brad. I know I tipped them to be top of the log, but they look fantastic.
Yeah,
we can just go. They keep going, looking average to really good. But yeah, this weekend they're really good and dominated a really good side.
Yeah, I thought it was a good matchup here. Roosters, I thought, were finally a step closer to being that team that you predicted would be minor premiers. I thought Luke Carey was directing the back line well off the back of some strong forward work. More efforts like this, they could be a top four side come the end of the season. So good to see them come back into this type of form. For the Sharks, they just lack consistency. They had a solid 20 minutes, which is where they scored all their points and showed what they could do. They just need to do it for longer periods. Their right edge defense was terrible. And that needs to be addressed. And they've been great so far this season. But this match showed that they're not the final product yet, which no one's ever claimed that they were. But yeah, I'm 100% confident you'll see them strong. No one was picking them to be good this year anyway. They were picking that next year would be their time. They're still going to be a finals team. It's just they're probably not going to be a top four team like they were looking at the time. But I thought it was still a good effort from both sides. Sharks will, but just Craig Fitzgibbon, he loves his defense, so I'm sure he's going to be making sure his defense is a lot better next time these two teams face.
I haven't written the Sharks off just yet, Brad, to be fair. I think on their day they've shown they can really foot it with anybody. I don't think
they'll be
top. And the Roosters, no, I don't think so either. I just think the Roosters have been very up and down this year, and the Sharks managed to catch them on the up. And we know the Roosters have that in them, but yeah, I'm not going to write off the Sharks just yet. They've shown they've put a lot of good sides away this year, and I just think that was one of those matches where the Roosters were on and they caught the Sharks on an off day. It was pretty much done and dusted at halftime at 20-0, so I thought the Sharks actually did not too bad to come back and salvage some pride and score 3 tries in the second half.
Yep.
The next game on Sunday I actually thought was quite an interesting game to watch. Brad's favourite team, the Dragons, getting up over the Bulldogs, 34-24. 6-4. For the Dragons, we had Tato Monga, Matthew Fingai, Ben Hunt, Zach Lomax, Andrew McCulloch, and Blake Lowry grabbing his first try after how many games, Brad? 91, 92?
It'd be around that.
It was around that, yeah. So he's got off the mark, and he was very happy about it. For the Dogs, Jake Avarillo grabbing a double, Kyle Flanagan grabbing one, and Aaron Shoup grabbing the last try for the Bulldogs. 16-6 at halftime to the Dragons. I thought it was a pretty entertaining game, Brad, even though it was featuring one of the teams you really don't like. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was all right. I'll reduce my notes because I know we're going long. But I thought both teams started well, but neither were that flash, and they were lucky to be playing each other, a bit like the Warriors Knights game.
Yeah.
I thought Matt Dufty had a better performance. He set up 3 tries. Must have listened to our show when we questioned his heart last week. Josh Adokar was patchy. I think he was just trying too hard because, you know, he was trying to make sure the Origin selectors picked him. didn't work his way. But yeah, the Bulldogs just need more from their playmakers. It's yeah, that seems to be where they're falling apart a bit. And then yeah, the Dragons, a bit like I said when they beat the Warriors, they just play simple footy. They complete their sets, put the opposition under pressure, and make the most of their attacking opportunities, which is kind of the blueprint of what you want as a coach. And yeah, Cody Ramsey looked good, fullback again. Ben Hunt did well directing the play, and Zach Lomax created a lot of chances for them. So yeah, credit where credit's due with the Dragons.
I can see the pain on your face saying that.
Yeah, don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. You're right, we are going a little long. I'll skip straight ahead. The Eels 28 over the Raiders to 20 in the last game of the round. 5 tries to 3 for the Eels. Will Pennicini grabbing one. Dylan Brown, Bailey Simonson grabbing 2 against his old club. Dylan Brown actually grabbed the second towards the end there. For the Raiders, Sebastian Chris, Elliot Whitehead, and again, Sebastian Chris, he had a double. Yeah. And 3 from 3 off the tee from Jamal Fogarty, who was playing his comeback game for the Raiders. Yeah. Raiders actually led 18-16 at halftime. The Eels finding a way to get the money here. What'd you make of that one, Brad?
Yeah, I thought it was a great game to end the round with. Another tight tussle win for the Eels, which I said last week is something they need to keep doing. So it's good to see that they got in the grind again and came out victors. They did make a few poor choices on attack that cost them some points, but it didn't cost them the match, which I guess is the main thing. They'll just want to decrease their error rate. And yeah, Dylan Brown looked good again. And his combination with Mitchell Moses is really dangerous when they're both singing off the same page. Raiders, they didn't play bad. They'll just beat them by a better team here, I would say. Josh Papali'i was a monster in the middle for them. And the Raiders' attack did look better with Jamal Fogarty out there. He just needs a few games to get his match fitness back. And then I had Xavier Savage. He's a massive talent. He showed his inexperience a bit, made a few missteps, but he shows great potential. And be disappointing for Simon that the Raiders lost there. But the effort is there, which I guess is a positive you can take out of a negative loss.
In 18-16, they were leading at halftime. It's only a little fade, only a slight fade.
Slight fade.
I don't even know if we count that as a fade. Yeah.
No.
I thought they actually did quite well with how well the Eels are travelling. So that was Indigenous round.
Yep. And we'll bring up the ladder. So we've got the ladder there. Not really too many changes. We've still got Panthers at the top. Storm second, Cowboys, despite their loss, stay at third. Broncos are now in the top four. Didn't think I'd say that at the start of the year. Eels are fifth. Roosters are sixth. Sharks are seventh. Rabbitohs are eighth. Then we go to the bottom half of the competition. We've got the Dragons at ninth. Raiders at 10th. Seagulls 11th. Warriors 12th. Knights 13th. Titans 14th, Tigers 15th, and Bulldogs 16th. So yeah, interesting there. Any surprises for you on that before we move on to the tips?
I can't say there's any surprises, mate, really. I mean, the Warriors are the main point of interest for me, and they don't seem to be climbing up towards the top eight anytime soon. So but yeah. It's not surprising me anymore.
So if you want to bring up the tipping, there we go. So we all got, even though some of us picked different games, we all still got 6 out of 8. So I am still currently leading 62 out of 96. Richie is on 60 out of 96. And then Simon's 58 out of 96. So it's still reasonably close. I've got Simon's tips here and I've seen mine. We've got the same this week. Spoilers. So we'll just see how different yours are this week, Richie. But yeah, any questions from anyone, Paul?
Simon was asking earlier your thoughts on the idea of having a fan ownership model rather than a rich person ownership model. Do you think the Warriors could move to a fan ownership model?
I don't know, because I read a lot of stuff about Warriors fans, and I'm not sure if we can be trusted in charge either. I'm not sure. It'd be an interesting concept, but I would want another club to be the guinea pig there instead of my club. Because, yeah, I could see positives, and I can also see a hell of a lot of negatives. I don't want to see the Warriors sink even further than what they are right now.
Richie, would you like to become an owner of the Warriors? Be one of 1,000 owners?
I'm a member of way too many Warriors Facebook pages. I know what the fans are like. They're very hit and miss here, there, and everywhere. So no, I think we're better off leaving them to Mark Robinson.
Okay, one from me then. With first beating third by, 22-0 last weekend, does that mean that basically this is there's a top two, and then there's sort of like a kind of next sort of group down to perhaps the Sea Eagles, who can make the finals but aren't going to make the final, and then the rest two really are just playing out the rest of the season? Is the grand final already going to be Panthers Stormers?
I think it was basically going to be their grand final before round one even started, to be brutally honest, even though I didn't predict it.
Yeah,
I think it's been a two-team comp for a long time this year. Mm.
The past couple of years, really. It definitely feels that way, and it felt that way pre the season starting, but I guess the beauty of knockout footy is once we get to that point, anything can happen. So yeah, there's still teams like the Eels and that who could knock on the door.
Looking at our grand final predictions, even though we both just said it was the guaranteed grand final, neither of us picked that as our grand final option. So
yeah, exactly.
That's how it is. We were just trying to make something magical happen instead of being predictable.
So 25 weeks of basically, and then 3 weeks of sort of finals build up, just might as well just get one and two to play each other, and everyone else just take the year off.
That was basically the same last year. Everyone said it would be the Storm Panthers grand final before it kicked off, and it was. They're just a step above everyone else right now. It's, you come into finals though, when it's a single game, anything can happen. You look at the Warriors, the last time they made the grand final, they upset everybody each week and got there. So all you need is one good game where a Panthers might slip, and then they're gone. It's just how it happens sometimes.
That's what happened last year, Brad, isn't it? Because you're right, we all were saying Panthers Storm, but then the Rabbitohs made the grand final.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, yeah, one little slip and it changed everything. And you had, yeah, the semi-final was the grand final.
Cool. That's all the questions from the live chat, guys.
All right. My question for you, Rich, I'll leave till next week. It's still one that can count. But your one we probably have to hit now, so you may as well ask me.
Cool. I just really wanted your opinion on something, Brad, this week. So we saw Jazz Tavanga had a very colourful post-match interview after the game on the weekend. So I wanted to get your thoughts on it, on his interview. And do you agree with what he was saying and the manner in which he delivered it? Were you a fan of that or no?
He's just a good old South Auckland boy, isn't he? He reacted, or the way he came across was very frustrated. He wasn't trying to throw anyone under the bus, but you could clearly see he was frustrated with efforts from his teammates, which he did point out, and he got to end the interview with his now quotable, more jerseys than trophies, which is something that Warriors fans have said for a while. I think it was just, it's been a devastating month, I'd say, for Warriors not only the fans but the players too, with how results have been going. So you get a guy straight off a embarrassing loss, you're going to get their full emotion. He dropped a few F-bombs, which does happen from time to time. He apologized as he was doing it, but then kept doing it, which I thought was a bit, but yeah, it's just a lot of frustration from a player, and there's not a lot that he can do to steer the ship. He's looking at his spine and that, and it, like you said in the review, it was the spine that would drop in the ball and making the mistakes. And so he was kind of just, it's good to see him at least do it, as long as he's doing it to them as well in the sheds, which I assume he would be. If you're going to say it on national television, you're going to be talking to them as well. So hopefully you see that, give them the kick they need, maybe. I'm a Warriors fan. I'm always trying to clutch at optimistic straws.
So did you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think they need to sort their crap out, really.
So we've got F-bombs being dropped on the TV. Now we've got C-bombs being dropped on the show. by Brad. Fiona over on the Ingers League wrap-up Facebook page goes, loved it, go Jazz. Sayali goes, loved his honest opinion.
Yeah.
Fiona says, Jazz has been playing his butt off, her favourite player.
Yes.
And that Ewan Aiken has shown his professionalism, always consistent. So a couple of players there that have been going well, but clearly not some others for the Warriors.
Yeah. So, my question for you, we'll leave till next week because it will cover, it's kind of a question we could ask whenever. So we'll go into our round 13 predictions. Thankfully, due to the time we're gone, it's a shorter week, only four games. So I've got Simon's picks. But Thursday night, we've got Titans-Cowboys. Simon and myself have both gone with the Cowboys. Who have you picked?
I think Cowboys too. Surprise.
Cowboys too. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they go without the Origin guys, but it's the Titans, so that's why I've kind of gone their way anyway. Friday night, we've got Panthers-Bulldogs. Mm. Simon and myself both gone Panthers. What about you?
Yeah, even though it's Origin time, it's hard to go again. It's hard to tip the Bulldogs. Way too hard.
I think it's Panthers. More harder to tip the Bulldogs than it is to go against the Panthers. Third game is Saturday, Seagulls versus Warriors. Simon and myself have both gone Seagulls. What say you?
Dirty, you dirty, filthy traitors. I've gone Warriors.
You're going Warriors.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner or later. Just keep tipping them. It'll happen.
Good to see that I'm going to get another point ahead. And then last game is Raiders-Roosters. Simon and myself have both gone with the Raiders.
I went Raiders too. They're at home in Origin time, so I feel like it's time for the Raiders to get one.
So we've only got one game different, which is the Seagulls-Warriors game. Simon also put his Origin pick up. I was going to do that next week, but we may as well do it here. You're gone. That's what I thought. So Simon and myself have both gone with Queensland and you have gone with New South Wales.
Dirty, dirty people. How could you?
I'm a Queensland fan. Okay, I know we are going super long, but before we sign off, there was the Challenge Cup final in the weekend. My mighty Wigan, the only shining light in my sporting following right now, defeated Huddersfield 16-14. Thomas Uluai made his impressive return from injury. He was told he'd be out for 12 weeks. He got back in six and played a good part in this game. I thought it was a great match. A lot of free-flowing footy. Huddersfield, they had a 14-12 lead with 3 minutes left, but a Harry Smith kick into open field for Liam Marshall, the Wigan winger, to scoop it up and score to get the match winner. Did you watch the game at all?
I did, and fantastic result. We'll claim it. The Warriors won a final.
Yeah. We'll leave it there.
Not the right Warriors, but we won. Yeah.
They're still my team in the UK, so I'll take it.
Your pronunciation of Huddersfield was very good.
It's good. I hope Paul was impressed in the background that I said Huddersfield. I heard it enough in the game, in the commentary. Yeah. So I remembered. But anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, just thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thanks to Paul for doing what you do so well. We've missed you the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely a better show when Paul's directing it instead of me. So always good to have you back, Paul. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in and joining us tonight on the Standoff with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on Rugby League, tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers again for joining me, Richie, and good night, everyone.
Thank you, mate.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.